Lecture 29, The War to End All Wars, The Experience of the Trenches.
In August 1914, the war that for so many years had seemed inevitable finally broke upon Europe. Europe marched off to war in that summer, fully anticipating a conflict that would be short and decisive. The anticipation was that the boys would be back home by Christmas. But by Christmas, the troops had not returned. Indeed, 2 years later, there was no end in sight. In this lecture, we're going to examine what came to be known as the First World War, the Great War, as contemporaries referred to it. We'll examine the course of the war militarily, and we will try to assess its meaning, both for European political development as well for European cultural and psychological development, because in many ways, this great conflict between 1914 and 1918 would have a great impact on Europe's notion of itself, came as a far greater shock in a way than the even more devastating Second World War. We had concluded our previous lecture, with the July crisis of 1914. I think before we proceed into the actual conduct of the war, we should underscore 2 points. In thinking about the outbreak of war, when did war become inevitable, and in assessing responsibility for the outbreak of that war, it's quite clear that war became inevitable from the moment at which the Tsar ordered general mobilization of his troops. From that point onward, there was no way for Germany to avert war, since it was committed to the so-called Schlieffen Plan. It could not afford the luxury of negotiating while the Russians armed. Here one sees the limited maneuverability of civilian governments as a result of military planning. In thinking about responsibility for the outbreak of the war and also related to the Schlieffen Plan, the German government throughout the July crisis, alone among the European states, understood the full implications of the military situation. That is, Germany understood from the beginning of the crisis that should war come in the Balkans and the alliance systems were the logic of the alliance systems prevailed, that there would be no limited war in the Balkans, but rather Germany's first response to an Austro-Russian war in the Balkans would be an attack on France. As a consequence, Germany bears a considerable responsibility throughout for, I think, doing more to, certainly not doing enough to prevent the actual outbreak of hostilities. Though here again, Austrian responsibility was also considerable. The war party in Vienna wanted war in the summer of 1914 and pressed for it. Serbian nationalism as well as the French determination to fulfill its obligations to its Russian ally. As a consequence, when war came, there was a sense of the alliance systems performing exactly the way they were intended to do and with their terrifying logic brought to bear. In the summer of 1914, in August, the Germans would indeed launch the Schlieffen Plan, smashing into Belgium. German troops swept into France, destroying much of the French and Belgian armies in the process. The Belgians fought heroically, slowed down the German offensive, which bogged down 25 miles east of Paris. Astonishingly, already at this point, the European powers had suffered 500,000 casualties, more than in all the wars of the 19th century after 1815 combined. At a critical moment in late August, General Moltke, the head of the German High Command, transferred 2 Army Corps to the Eastern Front. The Russians had mobilized very quickly, far faster than the Germans had anticipated, and had actually invaded East Prussia. And at this crucial moment, Moltke had, some would argue in retrospect, panicked, shifted these crucial Army Corps to the East to deal with the Russians, and weakened what was considered to be the strong right arm of the offensive into France, so that at the First Battle of the Marne in September of 1914, the German offensive was decisively halted. General Joffre's troops, French troops, counterattacked and forced the Germans to retreat.